B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and man, the best news that the sports world got over the last couple of days is that the bubble down in Orlando seems to be working. You put an experiment in the absolute just hellfire of everything that's going on with this pandemic right in the middle of Florida, and somehow, because of, I guess, regarding the last week of tests, they were able to have zero positives over this past week. That is astounding. And it kind of shows that as long as everyone behaves, they're going to be able to make this work. So I'm fascinated. And the restrictions and all the things that these guys have to go through, the protocols, you know, it is quite a setup. And I'm fascinated with life inside of that bubble. Not just the people like Dwight Howard going to super cool disco parties on their own because nobody else showed up, but also because of the super cool ping pong and cornhole they have. I do wonder when they're going to get bored and get tempted to end up leaving the bubble, and of course then everything blows up.
Just wait 2 weeks, we'll see how these players are acting.
Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He also someone not at the disco party, the big DJ event that only Dwight Howard showed up for. Very sad Instagram live. You don't go live if you don't know how it's going to turn out, and that was just a sad, broken man on there. But Chris, thanks for joining us live from the bubble, my friend.
What's up, guys? Yeah, somebody that was at that party, or at least was an earshot of that party, told me that the DJ said, shout out to Dwight Howard, you're the real one for being there. Like the only one there.
Kind of stands out in the crowd. You have a bunch of short guys and a 7-footer. Kind of easy to spot.
Yeah. Chris, just between us, do you think that the other guys on the team told them that they were going to be there and they're just effing with Dwight Howard? Or is it just that Dwight Howard was the only nerd that thought this was going to be cool?
I think more the latter. There were a lot of guys that were like, they had no idea what was going on, that there was like some kind of DJ'd event. I mean, there was definitely a breakdown of communication. Not that they would have gone anyway, necessarily. It's kind of one of those, like, he's like a mob mentality. He's like LeBron to go. He's like the cool kid at camp to show up for everybody else to think that it's a good idea. So I think that could be a while.
All right.
Well,
so, Chris,
listen, on paper, a straight-up dude party, a dude dance party, sounded amazing. I'm surprised everyone didn't show up, seeing that they're the only ones who were allowed there. Just let's get a bunch of dudes together and let's just start dancing. I'm surprised that he was the only one that showed up. But this is a real quick, John, I want to, because I'm fascinated with the commitment that, you know, like you guys are making, not just the players, but the journalists who get the privilege to cover this thing in the bubble. You guys have some pretty serious restrictions. From everything I've been reading, you're stuck there for a while. Kind of tell me what the entry process into the bubble is like as a journalist.
Well, when you enter the NBA machine as soon as you touch down in Orlando, and I got there last Sunday in the late morning, and once I clear the gate, you know, the NBA is there with a car for you to get you to the Disney Resort. You go through a couple of security checks, and then you get your magic band, which is effectively your key to your room, a thing you wear around your wrist. And when you get to your room, you are instructed in no uncertain terms that you are not to leave your room for 7 days. They bring food to your door 3 times a day. They have daily testing in the afternoon that comes to your door. And other than that, they don't want you opening that door. And they're very clear about it. Like, don't mess around with this or else there are going to be consequences to it. So, you know, myself and I think 9 or 10 other people spent a solid 7 days just kind of behind four walls, just sort of sitting there, you know, hanging out, you know, doing daily testing, you know, eating, you know, and just being in dead quarantine. We finally got out on Sunday, but I should point this out, like, you know, freedom in Central Florida isn't like all it's cracked up to be. I mean, you walk out your door, it's like, wow, I'm outside. And then you realize you're in, you know, 95 degree heat with a humidity index of like 88.
Yeah.
And you're effectively in like a Ramada. You're like, you're sort of walk around. You're like, wow, a pool and a gym and the parking lot. It's like, all right, well, all right, I'm going back to my room now. So that was kind of my first experience on Sunday.
All right. Well, we saw more than one tweet. I'm sure you've seen it on social media about the food that the players were getting. J.R. Smith in particular, not happy with the selection of food that he received. I believe he said, you know, you don't feed a Ferrari like garbage gas or whatever it was he said. Did you get the box lunches that all the players were complaining about?
We did those first 7 days. We had them delivered, and it's not measurably better when you get out. I mean, it's effectively the boxed meals that are in a cafeteria instead of boxed meals that are brought to you. I don't really get the player argument. I don't really buy. I mean, I've been over at the, you know, in the practice areas and seen where the players can go and eat, and like they've got chefs, they've got people actually cooking stuff for them. Like it's not bad for players. It's not probably what they're used to, but I mean, come on. Like it's not bad. There have been some bad looks from players in the first few weeks, whether it's, you know, that comment from JR who, you know, was like, you know, a minute and a half away from never playing basketball again, to Rajon Rondo, you know, comparing his room, which was pretty nice, to a Motel 6. I mean, there was just a lot of goofiness early on, and thankfully some of that has settled down.
Are you allowed as a journalist, because I mean, you're obviously, I think, I don't know, actually, I don't know. Are you close to the players, and are you allowed to interact with them during all of this? Is that part of the COVID protocol where you have to stay away?
Yeah, for right now, no. We're not allowed to interact or enter any of the player areas. What you can do is if players or coaches come into the media area, like the everybody's got to wear their credential around at all times when you're outside your room. And our credentials prevent us from going into the area where the team hotels are, but players, staffers, coaches can go anywhere. They can come into our area. Several have over the first couple of days. You know, the NBA, to their credit, has gone above and beyond to, you know, make as many protocols, create as many protocols as possible. Like, you're not supposed to be within 6 feet of anyone right during this process. But when you go to practices, you know, I mean, coaches walk up to you. Coaches that you know will walk up to you. They'll have a conversation. They're within 6 feet. I mean, everybody's still wearing their mask at all times, and that's never going to change. It shouldn't change. But, you know, some of the protocols the NBA has created, I think, have already started to dissipate and come off the table. So that's a long way of answering. Yeah, we have our own kind of like little pen sort of area in the in this hotel. And we can't really leave it. We have to, you know, go. We have to take basically shuttle buses to get placed. We can't walk around. But players and coaches, they can go wherever they want.
Chris,
okay, so I just want to follow up because yesterday you tweeted out a video, and I retweeted it because it's kind of fascinating. They gave the media the first look at what these courts are going to look like, and kind of an indication of a basic idea of what the broadcasts are going to look like, and it's strange. They did a good job, and it actually looks kind of cool. But can you explain how the courts are going to look and the broadcasts and the seating for the players? It was just a very odd arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, the court, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, I mean, I, having seen what baseball is doing and what other sports are likely to do, the empty venue thing just is awful. Like, I understand it's necessary sometimes, but, like, games being played in cavernous empty venues, I don't think that really works. And the NBA believed that coming in, so what they did was they created kind of a unique court, and they surrounded it by video screens and really made everything tight on top of the court. And on those video screens, I believe, I don't think anything has really been finalized yet. They're still in the experimental stage here. But on those video screens, I believe, like, fans can watch the game via Zoom. Like, they'll have faces of fans of the home team on these screens in little boxes where they can watch, you know, what's going on the floor via like a Zoom link or something like that. So that could create a kind of an interesting atmosphere there. And everything just really is pretty tight. Like it's the court, and then it's, you know, the screens are right on top of it. There's a section for the media to sit, you know, kind of in the corner. If people are familiar where the media sit in the Boston Garden, it's kind of like that area. And then the broadcast table is, you know, basically where the broadcast table usually is. Like, the broadcasters are all separated by plexiglass because they're going to have their masks off when they're calling a game. And there's plexiglass along the scorer's table as well. But other than that, it's a pretty normal looking floor.
All right. So, Chris, not only is this a physical test, you know, players getting back into shape after so much time off and no practices, but it's kind of a mental grind, too, because you're so isolated from everything else and, for lack of a better phrase, the rest of the world. A lot of people seem to be jumping on the Celtics bandwagon now that all the teams have kind of convened in the bubble. What's your feeling about them factoring in Kemba Walker's knee?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question, of course, is Kemba's knee. And if he's, you know, he's apparently going to go through some more practices the next couple of days and hopefully get, you know, ramped up to full speed. If he can play, look, they have as good a chance as anyone. I hate making predicts. Like, the first scrimmages are today, right? Up until this point, I mean, it's like the Lego movie. Like, everything is awesome right now. Everybody's in great shape. Nobody fell out of shape. This is going to be... Like, this is just going to be everybody, you know, spent the pandemic working out every single day, which clearly isn't true. So I think in these scrimmages over the next 3 days, we're going to get a real glimpse at, you know, who's in shape, who's not in shape, whose skills are sharp. I mean, I think I've said this to you guys before, but the three-point shooting, I think, is going to be something to closely watch. I think those numbers are going to dip precipitously. And this is a league based almost entirely on three-point shooting. So yeah. I think that's going to be something that you know, which one of these teams comes out of it looking the sharpest. I think we're going to be able to tell which team is going to be on top. So I like the Celtics' chances kind of on paper, but until I see, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown doing more than playing one-on-one after practice, I think we're not going to know.
All right, Chris, what's going on down there is kind of fascinating. I mean, if you're a team that's really in contention, you're probably relying on everyone else not to screw things up and not to leave. There's a snitch line. There's tracking devices, apparently. From being down there, how tough is it for real to sneak out of the bubble?
It's very tough. You know, there's security everywhere the eye can see. Like, I mean, they've brought in, like, ex-military people to work security. I mean, I'm sure there's security where the eye can't see. Like whether it's, like, you know, quasi-snipers with scopes, like, looking at where people are going. I mean, it's very difficult to sneak out. I don't think anybody's going to sneak out. The question is, does somebody sneak in? And that, I think, is...
Well, how tough is that? How tough would it be for them to sneak somebody in with all those guards and everybody else? And on top of that, you know, there might be some teams who don't legitimately have a shot to make the playoffs who might not be taking this seriously, who would, be, you know, tend more to do that than a team like, say, the Lakers or the Bucks. How tough is it to get somebody in there?
Well, I would say for those teams, I don't think it's that big an issue because, look, they know they'll be gone in a month. Like, they can survive a month without, you know, without friends and family and without recreational activities, for lack of a better phrase. It seems tough, like, on the surface to sneak somebody in, but there are a lot of Disney employees rolling in and out of here, and it's not like there are fences. And, you know, look, I've said something to some of the lower-level staffers that are out there. They're like, some of them joke to me, like, we're going to be like the presidential chief of staff that take the fall when you know, the president commits a crime. Like, we're going to be the ones asked to sneak these women in on a golf cart, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, try to get them in. So I think the important thing is going to be, you know, for these teams that are in it for the long haul, like, what happens after that first round in late August, early September? Like, that's when friends and family can come in, and they'll be able to bring sort of whoever they want into the bubble. Can they make it a month and a half? I mean, the NBA certainly hopes that they can, but, you know, it's an ongoing joke that you know, who's going to be the first to get caught bringing somebody in, and I think that's... if I had to guess, I think somebody's going to try it before we get to September 1st.
J.R. Smith. So how long is your commitment, Chris Mannix? I mean, you know, you have to commit to a certain amount of time, right, if you're going to go in the bubble as a journalist, right?
Yeah, you have to commit to at least September 1st, so I'll be here at least till then. I have no issue leaving. Look, I have no life. I'm not married. I have no family. So it's like, whatever.
This is kind of cool. This is like a once in a lifetime, super strange, fascinating place that you're in. And I could see how at first it would be pretty interesting, but I could also see how come October 12th, you're like, get me the F out of here.
This is a book deal. No, Rich, you're missing it. This is a book deal waiting to happen. Bubble.
Well, I don't mean to, listen, I don't mean to throw stories your way, but I mean, this isn't anything new because I've actually heard people already talking about this, but you want to talk about stories. This is a breeding ground for massive change in the NBA, especially when it comes to super teams forming. What do we know about when teams on All-Star weekend and everything, people get to hang out and stuff like that? I mean, all they do is whisper to each other and make these plans. Half of the super teams that are around now were birthed from places like this where they're all able to speak to each other. So this does have to be somewhat fascinating.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that some players have told me, I had this conversation with Fred VanVleet of the Raptors just the other day, where it's like, you know, right now players can't bounce from hotels to hotels, right? So if they have friends that are in a different hotel, they can't go in there yet. The hope is, and the belief is, that once they start playing games and players start interacting on the floor, the NBA is going to loosen those restrictions. And you're going to be able to kind of go into another hotel, maybe even hang in somebody's room, like, you know, just sort of, you know, do stuff like that. And when that happens, you're going to have a lot of commingling. I mean, the ongoing joke amongst NBA executives is the fact that the Bucks are in the same hotel as the Raptors and Heat. And the Raptors and Heat are the two front runners to go after Giannis in the summer of 2021. It's been labeled by some GMs as the temple of tampering, you know, in there, where it's just like, you know, where John Horst, the GM of the Bucks, is going to need to have like a GoPro, you know, outside of Giannis's room to make sure he knows who's coming in and out of there or interacting with them. Like, you got to be on the lookout for Pat Riley walking down the hallway, you know, with like a velvet bag, you know, of championship rings to show Giannis. So it's like, I mean, I think, you know, in a year, 2 years from now, could we see like two players or three players team up based on what happened in this bubble? Absolutely. I mean, there's only so much guys can do. I mean, they effectively work out for, let's say, 4 hours a day. You know, you have a 2 hour practice, maybe you get an hour in before a film session. You sleep for what, 8 hours? And that leaves you half the day to figure out what to do. And there's not a lot, like, there's only so much fishing guys that haven't fished before are going to want to do. There's only so much golf that one human being can play in this oppressive heat. So could guys wind up, you know, in card games or dice games or something and just talking to each other about stuff? I mean, yeah, I can see it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, Chris, I'm fascinated by the bubble. I'm fascinated by everything that's going on. I'm fascinated with the Lakers and everything with J.R. Smith and Dwight Howard just being a maniac. And I mean, there's so many great storylines. That's why the NBA right now is the best, is because it's outside of even the game. They haven't even played yet. But the whole bubble aspect of it is fascinating. And the fact that it's working makes it even better.
Yeah, I would say this, too. It's really, and I wondered coming in about access. It's really like an NBA writer's fantasy camp down here. I mean, usually you have to, like, if you want to cover a team, you hop on a plane, spend three nights in a hotel. I mean, I covered four teams yesterday, four practices, you know, with you walk in, media availability is like three guys in there. Ordinarily there's 30 that are in there. It's like, it's a dream to kind of, you know, cover this. And when the games actually start, we're going to be right on top of the floor where, you know, in a game where you can hear everything. Like, you know, even like Danny Green said this to me yesterday. It's like, you know, people are going to hear stuff that we don't want them to hear. Like, we're going to be saying stuff out there on the floor that you never hear because of the sound. So I think that's going to be fascinating in and of itself.
Yeah, so no to fake crowd noise. Let's just let it be pure. I want to hear every single
absolutely
word. All right, Chris. Great stuff, man. Chris Mannix with Sports Illustrated. And maybe later on as the real games start back up, we'll check in with you because this is going to be one fascinating time over the next couple of months. Chris, appreciate
anytime,
it. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. All right, we got a break.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kemba did the first hour of practice
did not do anything live, will be reevaluated tomorrow with the likelihood of going live on, what is it, Thursday morning? Is that the 23rd? These days, like, you literally lose track of days when you're in the bubble. Like, you don't have any idea what day it is. And then I don't think he'll play against Oklahoma City. That'll depend on how much he practices the day before, but he's pretty darn close right now.
.985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. For my money, there's really no better sports entertainment that we're getting right now than just the bubble itself. And once basketball starts, it's going to be even better. I can't tell you how happy I was yesterday when the report came out that the actual plan of the bubble works, because it had a million things going against it. A million things going against it. Number one being where the bubble was, being in Florida. But the fact that it's working makes you go, all right, well, if it can work in Florida, it's sure as hell going to work in Canada with the NHL. And now all of a sudden we've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey. And if everyone follows the rules like they seem to be, because these guys seem to be taking it serious. I mean, you say, I mean, you're right. There could be an instance. But
I'm happy now, Rich. I share your enthusiasm right now. The fact that you had zero positive COVID tests out of 346 player tests administered over the last week, and that's after they got there, means that the bubble system, as it is set up, is working. But you're forgetting, and we just talked about David Pastrnak making a dumb decision in his early
20s. He's not in the bubble.
I know that, but yeah. I'm equating it to young athletes making bad decisions. You have how many 20 to 25-year-olds sitting in Orlando right now? I mean, this is the problem. There's going to be a time where an athlete or two tries to bring someone in, as Chris Mannix was just talking about, for quote-unquote recreational activities, or try and get out. And yeah, the penalties will be severe, but when you're that age, you don't think about stuff like that. That's the problem.
If you are a team, like let's say you're on LeBron's team, do you know how terrified you're going to be of LeBron?
Yep.
Sure. But not all teams have that leadership problem. Have that leadership. The Celtics do. The Lakers do. You know, obviously Toronto does. They just won it last year, and you got a lot of the guys back from that championship team. I mean, Milwaukee does. But, you know, by and large, there are more teams that don't have a chance than teams that do.
But so, that's why the model of the actual bubble itself works in favor of it working. And that is because the bad teams are gone first. And the ones that have a better shot at potentially winning it are the ones that are going to have to stay there longer, because everyone knows, you know, the amount of time you're there lends mostly to when you want to leave or do something stupid. Because the first couple of weeks, yeah, you're at a resort, fine. Hey, we're fishing. But that gets boring after a while. But it's because becomes less about you just being there and more being out, man, I do not want to screw this up for the rest of my team. And that's why right now I have a decent amount of faith that this could actually work.
I'm hoping you are correct.
Hey, the MLS, zero tests, zero positive tests.
After they got rid of those two teams. Yeah. No, okay, the bubble is working. I'm very happy that it is, and no one wants more playoff games than I do. I'm tired of waiting for this stuff. I'm hoping to God this works. I really am.
I'm starting to sit here, and I watched last night's scrimmage game, or you know, the thing that the Red Sox did with the Blue Jays.
It's an exhibition game.
Deal that they threw out there, and like it almost makes me think if the Blue Jays don't even have, like, they're not even playing at home. They're going to end up playing in Pittsburgh, and like if you're playing in front of an empty field, it kind of got me pissed last night because there's such potential for that not to work. The bubble thing, it looks like, is more than likely going to work. I almost wish they had done the thing that they had proposed, where they all went to one central location and played games in this quote-unquote bubble. Because, you know, I know at the time people were like, oh, all these months away. You're going to be together for essentially the same amount of period that these hockey players are going to be together. I mean, the seasons are going to end close to the same amount of time. You're going to have a couple extra weeks. But I just look at the NHL and I look at the NBA, and now that we kind of have a feeling of how this is going to work, and we've seen it, you know, even with, as you said, the MLS, everything was a parade of F-uppery when it started. Mm-hmm. And that's why I look at the beginning of these leagues, but ones that are going to start in the bubble, and I go, all right. They have to get that out of the way. You have to, when everyone first gets together, there are going to be people that are going to get sick. But what they're doing because of this bubble and the tight restrictions is they're testing. They're removing the people who are sick. And look, it works, which, by the way, kind of is a bigger picture type thing, which really was supposed to be the whole way all this was supposed to work. But that model seems to be working. And it just makes me kind of pissed after watching last night's game. It doesn't matter if it's at Fenway. It doesn't matter at all if it's at Fenway. And if the season starts and star players start dropping out or getting sick, it almost makes me think, man, I wish they would have done this in the bubble. And I know that you can't do the NFL in the bubble because of how spread out all the games are and everything like that. It's impossible to do that. That's one of those situations where you just kind of got to cross your fingers and bombs away and hopefully it doesn't work. And if it completely F's up, then you got to stop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at least baseball, you could have done something like this. Like it could have been viable. You've got teams that aren't even playing at home anymore. And so that almost doesn't even matter, at least to one of the teams, which sucks for them.
Here's the thing. Originally, they were talking about Arizona, Florida, and I guess Texas. Those are the three states that opened up first. And not only did you have massive COVID spikes in all three states, the heat is something you have to work around. And I don't know, you can't play every game in Tampa in that awful dome. I mean, you really are stuck playing a lot of games in massive heat. And I think that is a major problem.
You do what the MLS is doing. 9 a.m. games, baby.
Yeah, but the MLS has a limited schedule. You're talking about 60 games for 30 teams. I mean, that's hard to do. And it's okay. In this kind of situation.
And then you do 9 a.m.
You
do a 5 a.m. Night Owl special, and then you do a 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, you wait until 10 p.m. You just do them at the evening. You do them late at night.
The Red Sox in Texas will play midnight. Midnight Eastern time.
Hey, Rich, I'm not sure where we're going here next, but I'm watching a little bit of Patriots porn over here. Cam Newton throwing passes to Julian Edelman.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Newton's Instagram page.
Well, I like that.
Does it show him running at all?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I want to see.
Does it show him carrying the football and running?
I see his muscles.
Yeah, not running.
I see Edelman running.
Jesus, you would think of WWE wrestlers in here.
Doing a little curl route to the left. Spiral right in his hands. Julian Edelman catching passes from Cam Newton.
How about that?
Hang on. You're telling me that something that involves either Julian Edelman or Cam Newton is on social media?
No, yeah.
I can't believe Edelman is part of something like this.
I got that one later.
My God. You tell me tell me Edelman doesn't have a shirt on.
He does not have a shirt on.
Of course not. Of course he doesn't have a shirt on.
Neither does Cam.
Of course not.
Hey, ladies. Some sort of JE11 logo on there somewhere. Yeah. All right. Well,
you guys are talking bubble, and I
understand. My bubble. Yep.
And you're breaking out the jargons. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. All right. Now I kind of got to see this. Hey, listen, it's good. Great. They're practicing together. This is going to be there's nothing I want more than.
I mean, there's no preseason. They got to practice somehow, right?
Yeah, I guess. All right. Well, we'll get to that. I'll watch this thing that's gotten Joe all hot and bothered.
He's in a lather, man. My God.
Bubble talk just.
You know what? God. If I never saw Edelman or Cam Newton without their shirt on again, I still would have seen it way too much. Like, I don't think there's two human beings outside of myself in the mirror that I've seen with their shirts off more.
At least he's not staring. Remember Edelman posted that ridiculous thing of him staring into the distance in the Pacific after running in these new shoes he was trying to hawk? Remember that? Back when he was somewhat pure and trying to break into it?
Do we need a black bar on the Twitch stream to cover up certain
no, we're good.
Movies
we're
back
good
in the day
here,
where they would cover the naughty parts with Joe Murray and studio, or we need to, you know, put some shades down in the studio. I've got to make sure that we keep it clean for the viewers. All right, so we'll talk about that weirdness right after Joe Murray's headlines, if he can handle it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a touch wrench. We have to talk about this. So right before we went off the break, Joe Murray got all sexy, and he was just like, ooh, we found something called Little Patriots Porn, which, by the way, I hate that term. It's just like, it's just creepy. But for some reason, when Joe Murray does it, the term is appropriate because the guy sounds like he is just all lathered up, hot and bothered. And Joe, can you... What Joe ended up seeing is that apparently on Cam Newton's Instagram, he said there's a video of Cam Newton throwing to Julian Edelman. Now, my first reaction is, wow, what a surprise that something that involves Julian Edelman and Cam Newton's on social media. My second reaction was, okay, that's a good sign, though. I like the fact that Cam Newton is working out with Julian Edelman. This is great. Try to get him on the same page. Obviously, we all want to see how this looks. This is something exciting. Great.
And then third, what are the odds it was in slow motion and neither of them was wearing a shirt?
It was an out route to the left, 15-yard
completion. John goes, I take it, they're not wearing a shirt. And I'm like, and then Joe goes, no, Julian Edelman was not wearing a shirt. Of course.
I should correct myself. Cam is wearing a shirt.
Okay. Is it ripped? Is it a tank?
No.
Is it a tank top?
Doesn't matter. That to me was. Then I click on the video and I hear this. Of all the songs you chose.
Yeah.
Oh no! It's
very
about
well could be like that.
Oh, it could be. Yeah. That's right. Of all the songs, they picked the douchiest. They picked the butt rockiest metal song ever to show dude it's about.
I don't know why. Why are you teasing him? Some serious stuff's about to go down here. This is serious. This is all day long, baby. Get used to it. This is what you're going to see.
Coming
this
at your neck.
Isn't that the song where the lead singer like pretends he's getting beat up by his mom? Oh no, Bobby! No, please don't take away my toys.
Yes, that's
Why you gotta be such a bitch? He like yells like, oh, you're so twisted. You're in a band called Disturbed. You must be Disturbed. I mean, it's the corniest of songs that they chose. And then on top of it, this is great because it's like a 20-second long video and it's just of Cam Newton throwing a football to Julian Edelman, and it ends with a screen that says something like Consignia Productions. Why do you need a production company? It's a black and white video of you throwing a pass. My 9-year-old son can make that video in 5 minutes. Whatever you're paying that production guy, don't. I'm not sure where this money is going. I've never seen two people waste more money on like production companies. There was an article about Julian Edelman that he teamed up with his social media marketer, and all of his stuff can literally be put together in a matter of like minutes. Yet it's like, and they all have these super cool logos that they spent way too long on. But dude, it's a black and, you know what you do? Press record, press slow-mo, press black and white, done. Oh yeah, and put, of course, down with the sickness on there just for the extra corner. In fact, and then put your production on 5 minutes. My 9-year-old in 5 minutes can make that.
To be fair, I did not hear the Down with the Sickness. I was just watching the video.
I mean, what are we doing?
So I would have rather just saw that instead of knowing the song was coming.
He just said, you know what? We're going to show people how twisted things are getting around here.
But Rich,
just totally sadistic.
But Rich, I mean, there's no preseason this year, so like... they got to work together at some point, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure throwing out routes shirtless is going to make all the difference.
I'll be a good boy. There might be a swear coming up soon, though.
I mean, this is the dumbest song ever put... Oh, no, you didn't do that. Your mom was mean. Oh, that is just the corniest of all songs. And then I clicked on it, and I'm like, it's perfect. It's appropriate. Listen, to be honest, watching a video this morning of Cam Newton throwing to Julian Edelman is cool. That's great. They're working together. It says something. Now, what I mean.
Can you see Julian Edelman, like, removing that 12 tattoo he's got somewhere on his body and just erasing the number 2, having that lasered off and just keeping the number 1?
Julian looks stacked, man. man. He looks
of course he does.
Working out.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, come on. You know. Listen, all I know is that there's a million different songs you could have thrown in there, but the way that it was in slow motion with the shirts off, I'm just thinking. By the way, somebody sent that to me. I'm way off my game. I should have immediately put that up there. But I mean, you know, so Cam Newton, because you get the shirt, he'd be Goose. And obviously Julian Edelman is probably Slider because he does kind of flex after he catches. And he kind of dominates. Now, he's not wearing sunglasses, so maybe you go Tom Cruise, but he's not wearing jeans. He's not wearing jeans in all of this, so I guess that would make him that. Oh, my God. That is just the corniest thing I've seen this morning. Good for them that they're working out together, but that just, you really could not have done it any cheesier than that.
You're right, man. These two together could be really, it's going to be fun for you, but this could be really douchey.
Well, so Bruins Luchador said, how long until Julian starts dressing like Cam?
Grows his hair out.
Oh, he starts wearing a hat and a shirt like
Julian
Cam?
Julian grows his hair out, you know.
He follows the Tom Brady single white female, you know, like psychic ex-lover type of handbook. Like, just like does everything that they do and starts getting the hair the same way. Like, that would be, how great would that be? I'd almost think that if Julian Edelman did something like that, it would be amazing because I think at that point, there's no way he would do it on accident. It would be completely self-aware and almost making fun of himself because there's no way it would transition like that. But if he did that, oh, it would just be, it would be phenomenal.
Maybe he'll go vegan like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Oh, did you read that article? I don't know.
Dude, I sent it over. Man, that thing's crazy, dude.
Okay, that's the stupidest article. No, listen, it's not. I'm glad you sent it because it is so ridiculous. But what is this? This dude from Charlotte thought that.
Yeah, it was a year ago. Basically, there's like a history of vegan players having issues bouncing back from injuries. And this guy was trying to make the case last year that him being vegan is the reason, you know, for the fact that Cam Newton hasn't been playing well. Because he went completely vegan. And he has a show called Yo, This Vegan. And it's really funny, man. Dude. Like, I watched the video.
Hang on. So it has nothing to do with the multiple injuries that he has suffered?
With the flags that have ever been called by him running or any of that. No.
Dude, that sucks. That's the one thing I'll say about Cam Newton, that he honestly got screwed by. I've never seen a player get more mishandled when it comes to letting other teams absolutely abuse him on a field physically. I've seen more helmet-to-helmet hits to Cam Newton and dirty hits to him that don't get called than I think any other player within the past decade. Agreed? Like, he's somebody who just
absolutely. There's absolutely no,
through his own doing. Called. Yes, through his own doing.
Yeah, but sure. He should have got a lot of those called. I'm sorry.
Through his own doing? Yeah, what do you mean?
What I'm saying is, I'm talking about more scrambles from the pocket. Yeah, the offensive line was not very good, and he stood in there and took a beating, and Carolina didn't do anything to help protect him, but
he also
absorbed more than his fair share of punishment by running when he shouldn't have and not going out of bounds.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about guys who like put themselves in bad situations and get hit. I'm talking about wildly illegal helmet-to-helmet.
Oh, sure, sure, and it wasn't called because he's just a big guy, yes.
And I think Belichick will be all over that here.
Sure.
I think I know he's 6'5", 250, but that guy's a runner. And listen, I think Cam Newton, I think, still one of the toughest guys in all of football. But there should have been some calls on him that he never got.
I've said this before about all these videos. Like, you can show me videos of him throwing fine, whatever like that. When do I see the video of him running? That's what I want to see more than anything. I want to see whether or not he can still do it. You know, I mean, that's what I want to see. We know he's got an arm. Obviously, it's not the most, you know, he's not captain of the direct hits, if you know what I mean.
And he's coming off a bad shoulder. And more to your point, Rich, he had Lisfranc surgery less than a year ago. That's serious. That's very serious. And sometimes it takes a year for you to come back from that. And where are we? We're about 9 months. So, I mean, he's got to prove that he can be mobile as well.
Yeah. I think that I've seen enough videos of him throwing. It's good that he's throwing with him. But, I mean, I need a little Rocky III running on the beach, man. Like, I mean, somebody just said, that's Cam and Julian. It's Apollo Creed and it's, you know, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
When they start kind of splashing each other in the surf.
Yeah.
You know, that's I want to see him running more than anything. Show me that you've still got at least 75% of that speed that we've had before. Because That's exciting. Like when you to add that element into this offense, and I know that I heard him talk about, you know, Josh McDaniels has never worked with someone like me. I want to see if he can work with someone like him. I want to see if he can figure out how to take this weapon that he might have that is completely different than the guy who was just here and make it work. And to be quite honest, if he makes it work, all that crap and all that talk about Josh McDaniels never getting another job and standing people up at the altar and him not doing that changes. If he makes Cam Newton work and he has a track record of helping out two completely different styles of quarterbacks, just watch. Once again, he's going to be one of the hottest head coach candidates in the league.
That's a very, very good point. But unfortunately for McDaniels, he won't have preseason to help himself out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is going to be a learn on the fly because Cam Newton is such a different quarterback than the guy who just left. I think McDaniels, more than anyone, would like at least a couple of preseason games to work with him.
We'll be right back. We'll finish this in a second. Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I fractured my finger a couple of weeks ago doing box jumps. I mean, it's getting better, so I'm not worried about it. It'll be all set once we start playing.
98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. That's Tuukka Rask, who screwed up his finger a while back. He said it's going to be okay, so I will take his word for it.
Oh, that's going to linger.
I'm not worried about that.
No, I'm trying not to worry about it, but he's the guy who mentioned this. Yesterday, he goes, oh, yeah, during the round robin, we'll definitely play two goalies. Like, he's the guy coming out there saying, oh, yeah, things are going to be different this year.
Well, that's Cassidy said it first. Cassidy, I mean, listen, wouldn't you do that too? Don't you want to rest these guys, you know, for the most part, not for the entirety of the round robin?
You don't want to toss these guys out of a moving car.
I get it.
To ramp up to it.
I get it.
Halak's going to get one of those round robin games, and then it'll be Rask for the playoffs.
Hate to use the old song from the 90s that Dan may know, Linger. That thing's
going
to linger.
I'm going cranberries
on you. It's going to linger.
All right.
Well, he said he can't catch a puck with a glove he's wearing now.
Rich,
it happened 2 weeks ago.
Rich, that's a cranberries reference. That's what that is.
Listen.
It's better than Disturbed.
That's a cranberries reference. Well,
I would say that's their list. What are we talking about, Disturbed? Oh, it's about to get spooky. Get ready, because things are about to get twisted around here. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Catch Edelman's about to make it slow motion with no shirt on. Holy moly. We're playing with the boys now. Throw me the ball. Oh, my goodness.
Very well could be that.
He didn't even let the beat drop. Crazy. I'm totally messed up. God, they were embarrassing. I saw them at an Ozfest, and they rolled him out on stage, the singer, in like the Hannibal Lecter thing. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, I want Slayer to come on stage and punch you in the face right now. Like, I want Ozzy Osbourne to take his big hose full of water that he shoots and just blow you right off the stage.
Didn't they do a cover? What was that?
The Sound of Silence. And like everyone. Oh, and then they did like the Land of Confusion or something.
Oh, the Land of Confusion.
Like,
there you go.
Dude, have you ever heard this song so spooky? And I'm like, what are we doing here? That they might be like the dumbest of all of the butt rock metal bands. They are just the butt rockiest of them all. Dude, first of all, they're ripping off Seven Dust. There's no question about that. Who ripped off Stuck Mojo? But, you know, that's another whole thing. Peace out, Fozzy. All right, we got a break. Jake DeBrusk, by the way, on with us at 9:30. And we've got Mike Giardi from the NFL Network on next to give us an update on that super cool, spooky video that we just saw there from Cam Newton and Julian Edelman.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.